in America, I think like the best part is that we're all from different places, so we're all like interacting. So I think like as time goes on, like you just get like a blended identity, but I think that's like what makes us who we are.
Welcome back to Immigrants Wake America. This is a podcast where storytellers share their family histories and the centrality of women in their life stories. I am Lily.
And I am Shruti Jain. We are PhD students at SUNY Binghamton University, and we are the hosts and producers of this podcast. Our guests today are Fariha Rahman and Teresa Alarcon. Both Fariha and Teresa have been Binghamton University students and involved in community engagement.
Fariha and Teresa talk about the memories of their grandmothers and the complications of stereotypes about immigrants and their descendants. They also discuss how the bonds and values constructed around food influence their sense of self and belonging.
So my parents are originally from Bangladesh, and they moved to America in like the early 90s. I think my grandfather, so my mom's dad, he moved here first, and like he had a job and I guess kind of built a life a bit. And then I believe my mom and her brothers and her mom joined him eventually. And then I think she got married to my dad after that. And then he moved to America because he married her.
So my story is about my grandma on my dad's side. She came to the U.S. when she was 19 years old. She came from Puerto Rico, Cabo Rojo, and she came because she wanted to get a nursing degree in the States. So both my parents were born in New York. My mom was born in Queens, and my dad was born in Manhattan, and we've been in New York kind of ever since. So I think that food just really brings everyone together. Like, who isn't excited for food during the holidays? So the reason I chose empanadas is for that reason. You know, every holiday on my dad's side, I just look forward to the empanadas. And on my dad's side, like, at least at home, we don't, like, speak Spanish, and we don't, I guess, like, talk about our culture that much. But when it's with my cousins, aunt and uncles, and when my grandparents were alive, like, we had different types of, like, Puerto Rican food, and, like, the staple was the empanadas, so that's just what I remember most. And although I didn't ever make them with my grandma, she passed down the recipe, like, to her sisters, and then they like taught their children, so I've made them with my cousins, and it's just a nice way, I think, to bring people together and have a common memory of someone. So like, if I think of my grandma, I would think of like her making empanadas in the kitchen. Even though she passed away when I was just 7 years old, I still like remember her and her empanadas. I didn't know her too well, but she was just this like awesome woman, kind of like the queen of the house. And the stories I've heard about her were just that she was like the sweetest woman, and we call her Ma. But yeah, so I think she definitely had an impact, and I love cooking and baking, so I've even made empanadas on my own. And as I got older, my dad and I, every Thursday, we'd go to our like local store and get empanadas, and it was just a tradition at school. Like, everyone knew Empanada Thursday, where I would bring empanadas in. So I think that this memory just really was a big part of my life, and even after she left.
I think for me, so I was really close to my grandma when I was little. So I used to always visit her. She lived in Brooklyn, and we lived like in Poughkeepsie, which is about 2 hours away. But I would always visit her like all the time and stay with them. And I think I wrote in my story about how like we used to feed pigeons raw rice together, which really stuck out to me. And I think also like with my mom, I think something that like I just learned from them, like, you know, feeding pigeons or just giving food away was just like, I guess, like tenderness and like the importance of giving to others. With my parents, I think food is the one place like where we connect the most. Because, you know, like when I can speak Bengali, but my accent's not as good. I also don't really understand any dialects. People have told me that I sound a little stuck up when I speak because it's very, very proper, like because I speak the way my dad talks. But when it comes to food, like, I eat the same things that they do. Like, I have the same taste. And I get think recently, because I'm living on my own now, like, I'm learning to cook. And so I'll make things like rice and dal, and I'll, like, send my parents pictures. And I'm not the best at it. Like, I've definitely messed up a lot, and I've had to, like, call my mom. But, yeah, so I think that's definitely one place where I think we connect a lot on it. And I think that's something that I connect with my culture a lot on. Like, something I've noticed is that, you know, like, English is my first language. I tend to think in English. But when it comes to, like, food items, oftentimes the words I use, like, the first words that come to my mind are, like, in Bengali, because that's what I usually talk to my parents about food. Yeah.
So, like I mentioned before, on my dad's side, his mom was from Puerto Rico, dad from Colombia, and then their, like, parents or grandparents were from Spain. And then on my mom's side, she's, like, fully Italian. So I'd say food is definitely a big part on both sides. But in terms of bringing it into the house, not so much anymore. Like, my dad had more of the cultural influence. Like, his mom and dad would speak to him and his brothers in Spanish, and then they would respond in English. But for me, like, I don't speak Spanish. I'm in a Spanish class now, and I've taken Spanish all through, like, since elementary school, and, like, I love learning about it. Doesn't come that easily to me. But I've been to Puerto Rico so many times. I've been back to Cabo Rojo. And, yeah, my dad definitely, like, tells stories about, like, his family, but it's not so much, like, part of the culture, which is why I think it makes it just much more special when I do have that food on the holidays, because, like, that's what brings me back to, like, my culture. And so, yeah, I think, like, I would definitely like to keep up the tradition of making empanadas and teach, like, my friends and my kids, and because, I mean, who doesn't love them? They're pretty good. As time goes on, like I mentioned before, like, my dad knew Spanish and then responded in English, but he can, like, speak Spanish. I think, like, as time goes on, it gets passed less and less, which is a little bit sad. Like, I think it would have been awesome if I could learn Spanish, but maybe because, you know, my mom was Italian and she didn't speak Spanish growing up, like, that's the reason. So I think, like, not, like, that's a bad thing, but I think in America, I think, like, the best part is that we're all from different places, so we're all, like, interacting. So I think, like, as time goes on, like, you just get, like, a blended identity. But I think that's, like, what makes us who we are.
Yeah, I can definitely relate to what Teresa said. I think you see that with my family as well. Like, even just, like, between my sisters and I, like, my older sister's Bengali is better than mine. And I think mine is better than my little sister's. Like, we progressively, it just kind of become more Americanized, I think. And even between my parents, I think big part of Bengali culture is, you know, like, respect for your elders. And I mean, I think between my grandparents, my parents, and, like, me and my sisters, we all kind of have that. But I think we also demand more from our elders than the generation before. I think part of it is just the involvement of my grandparents. I think they were very, very involved with my older sister. My older sister spent, I think, like, from when she was born to, I think, like, maybe, like, 10 years old in Brooklyn, living in the same house as my grandparents, in an immigrant neighborhood. So she had a lot more just contact with Bengali people and Bengali culture. I spent a lot of time in Brooklyn with them, but I went to school in a very white area. And my grandparents left the country, moved back to Bangladesh when I was 11, so I didn't have the same contact with them. And my little sister had very limited contact with them as well. She was born upstate, never really knew Brooklyn, and I think she has less contact with our relatives than me and my older sister.
So I have three older half-siblings, two from my dad's side and one from my mom's side. And so on the dad's side, they, like, knew my grandma, loved her, and they're much older than me, so they knew her well. And then my sister on my mom's side, she's still older than me, but a bit younger, but she currently lives in Puerto Rico, and she, like, loves it there, so that's why I've gone, like, because my mom had a house in Puerto Rico, and so it's weird because I go with my mom's side of the family to Puerto Rico, but my sister is fluent in Spanish. Oh my gosh, she is just so talented. Like, it just came to her so naturally, so I think, like, she also got interested in it because of my dad's side of the family, and so it's interesting how, like cultures and, like, families mix, but I wish I picked up her skills in learning Spanish, because I think, like, Fariha said, like, as you go on, it's a little harder to pick up the language or, like, get that accent. Like, for me, it just wasn't spoken in the house at all, so I just learned in school. But my sister, she's, like, lived in Puerto Rico the last couple of years, so she's been able to, you know, really absorb it, and she's totally fluent now. I hope I can learn some more Spanish in the future.
It's definitely a conversation. I think, especially with my mom, I think she gets a bit more apprehensive. So I think especially in 2016, during the election, you had a lot of, like, anti-Muslim rhetoric, and she started getting very scared, and she started saying, like, don't tell anyone you're Muslim at school. She even at one point said, like, oh, I think we should have given you a more American name. Like, do you want to change your name? And I said, no, even though when I was little, I remember I tried to change it to Ashley, and I begged her, I said, like, can you change my name to Ashley? And she refused. And so it was kind of funny that it was flipped years later. I think with my dad as well, because my dad works in an insurance company. He works for the Affordable Care Act. And I think sometimes he's never faced, like, direct racism. But something, I think he does get a lot of microaggressions, especially because he has an accent. And I think the trouble with him is that, like, you know, I can identify and be like, that was a microaggression. I think he has a little bit more trouble, and he gets a bit more hurt when it happens. And so I think we've talked about that, and he has asked me, like, has anything happened at school to you? And I had, like, somewhat of a similar experience, less so because I speak English fluently, where I think I knew a lot of people who they wouldn't come out and say stuff like, oh, I don't like immigrants. But they would say things like maybe about, like, illegal immigrants, like, oh, I think all illegal immigrants should be wrong. You know, like, things like, if you learned about it a little bit, it might sound a little off to you. But if you didn't, it might sound totally normal.
So on my dad's side, like, we look a certain way. Like, I don't think I look Puerto Rican. Like, when I tell people on my dad's side, his mom's from Puerto Rico, his dad's from Colombia, like, they're like, you're not Hispanic, or, like, you're not Latina. I was like, but, like, I am, but I might not look it. So it's a kind of, like, a weird thing for me to say, because I feel like people are judging me because I don't look like the typical person from there. But I guess that kind of brings up topics of, like, well, what does the typical person from a certain country look like? Like, I think just for me, it's like, is there a typical way someone's supposed to look? Because I think that's what Americans think. Like, everyone from China looks like this, or Bangladesh look like this. So I think it's important to know that people look different from all areas, and, like, everyone's unique. I think, I guess, whoever's listening to this, you could think about, like, something from your culture that reminds you of your immigration story. I remember when we did this project in our class, like, I was like, what object could I choose? But then when you start, like, looking into it more and finding out, like, the history of it, like, so many memories get brought up and stories, and you get to talk to family members. So I think, like, just everyone try to think about where your family came from, and it will bring back a lot of good things.
I think when I was taking this class, I started, like, learning more about my culture and heritage in a way I hadn't previously, and now I'm actually getting a certificate as part of my master's in genocide and mass atrocity prevention, and we were researching genocides, and I realized there was one in Bangladesh, which I had actually grown up learning about. Like, my parents would show me documentaries, and we would talk about it all the time. And I realized only recently, like, I did the math, and I was like, my dad was alive at that time. He would have experienced all this, and he never told me. Which, you know, that's kind of a big thing to leave out when you talk about something, to, like, talk about it as if you read it in a history book and actually you were there. And so I've been learning about it a lot, and I guess I've been thinking about how to talk to my family about it, because it's not something that's talked about. I think it's very taboo and very painful, and he was also very, very young at the time. And so he's told me a little bit. He did tell me that when he was younger, so his mom used to make food for, like, the freedom fighters, and I think he would have been, like, 7 years old at the time, and he would bring it to soldiers, and how this was very dangerous, because if he had gotten caught, it would not have mattered that he was 7 years old. He would have been shot and killed, and which I just thought that was so, I don't know, I don't even really know what word to call it, like interesting, like sobering. It also made me, like, see him a little different, because he had never talked about that. He's not really someone, like, my dad's kind of like, you know, your typical manly man. He doesn't really talk about his feelings. He likes to just get things done. And I think it was the first time that I started to, like, understand him a little bit and seeing his perspective. And it's still something I'm working on, like, how to talk about that, because I do want to learn about it, but also be sensitive that that was probably very traumatic, definitely very traumatic.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you enjoyed this episode of Immigrants Wake America. For more conversations and explorations, please listen to our future episodes available on all major streaming platforms. We have linked our social media and website in the description box. We would be happy to hear your thoughts and feedback. See you next time. Until then, take care and stay safe.